This is The Fump.
But Bodkin, you're my wingman. My wingman. If anyone can hook me up, you can. You gotta help me, Bodkin. Help me get her out of the bar.
Crayola, Crayola's all that I know. The color's delicious, making a rainbow. Crayola, I love you so.
That's the Funny Music Project at thefump.com. THEFUMP.com.
Now broadcasting the webcomic Beacon.
Welcome to episode 210 of the Webcomic Beacon podcast. This is a special video cast for this particular podcast because I just didn't know how else to better do this. I'm actually using the first issue set, which myself, Fess, and Melissa and Marcus are with me reviewing comic books. Currently, the New 52 from DC Comics. On the new Webcast Beacon Network web series, First Issue, where we take a look at first issues of comics and see whether or not they succeed or fail for being a number one issue. After we're done with the 52 comics, the 52 from DC Comics, I think I will open it up to, if people want to send in their first issue, like web cartoonists, they print their first issue, and then the group can look at it and review it as we do with the regular first issue web series. If you haven't seen it, firstissue.webcomicbeacon.com to take a look. Do not submit unless you're willing to accept a full honest review. And that's partly why I'm here today doing this video review, a video show for the Webcomic Beacon here, is that, the 4th anniversary special of the Webcomic Beacon podcast is coming up December 4th, 2011. And with that, I've been trying to get people to send it. Well, I've been asking already if people want to send in comics for review. I'll do a review for the Webcomic Beacon, and I'll review it on the show. And also, it'll be given away as a prize for listeners. And if you go to webcastbeacon.com/giveaway, you can find out how, and I will tell you after I do the reviews as well, a little bit more specifically. But we've got several submissions, which are going to be basically giveaways for the 4th anniversary special, and I need to review all of these. And I can't think of a better way to review all of these in time for the giveaway than to do this. So I'm here all alone. Nobody else is here. The lighting is a little bit different, so I apologize if the lighting isn't as good as it is on First Issue. But, and if you're listening to this on podcast, you obviously don't really see what I'm talking about, because we've been having our video shows available as podcasts as well. Excuse me. Let's see here. I'm going to go through... I have no particular order of how I'm going to be going through these, but the first comic I'm going to reviewing is submitted the first comic book selection. Oops, that doesn't really work. Comics collection of Demon Graphics. And for any URLs, I shall put them in the show notes, or you'll see it right below on the screen. So you can find out more at Demon Graphics. I think they're at Blogspot. And so this is issue one, and it's by, if I can read this fancy writing in here, it's by Jens Pindel and Brent Forrest. And let's see here. It's essentially a collection of assorted comics that they have done and posted on this on their site. A lot of it will star a character on the front called Iron Maiden. And this little yellow character here is Igor. The thing with Iron Maiden, as I don't quite understand what happened, it seems she started out as a short-haired, well, pink hair in here, but I'm going to insinuate more so of a redhead. And then later on in the comic, she's turned into a long-haired blonde. So I'm not sure if that was, if it's a different Iron Maiden, because the eye color is also different. So I'm a little confused on that, but they are somewhat similar, so maybe it was a creative choice. But, excuse my cough. When I was reading through this, it had a kind of a sketchy look, as in not devious, but well, it's a titillating. It's a bit titillating in the ones that feature Iron Maiden because she doesn't wear all that much, and that's fine. And I'm not going to judge it for being that type of comic because to each their own for that type of comic, and so. But you can see a lot of, like, the sketch, the underlying sketch that maybe wasn't erased enough before putting the colors on or the inking. It looks like it is real media colored, like maybe with watercolor. But I can't be too sure. I don't know. But it kind of looks like that. And the sketchiness, I actually kind of like. Except when it's, like, on skin. On skin, it looks very, very apparent, and it looks very off, especially with the shadow color choice for the skin. It looks a little too dark, too jarring. But in general, I mean, you can take a look at the artwork on especially the Iron Maiden parts, and you can certainly see that there is a knowledge of how to move the brush, how to do the lines, and so. It doesn't look like it's sketchy. It looks like they know what they're doing and they're inking. Just I would probably want to erase a little bit more, but that only seems to be an issue on the Iron Maiden ones. Now for the Igor ones, they're a little bit non sequitur. Well, almost non sequitur. Just a bit crazy because Igor is a sort of a. Well, he might not all be there. Let's say, and I would like. The comic does jump around. There's, like, some in here with, like, humans doing stuff. And if I can get a shot of... Whoops! If I can get a shot of what I'm talking about for, like, the sketchiness. If that can even be seen. As you know what I'm talking about. I would actually really prefer... This would have been a stronger comic if it didn't... If it all stayed in, like, say, medieval times, it kind of, I don't want to say it jumps around in timelines, but, like here's another one with Igor in set in modern times, which, you know, it's okay, but I still would have preferred, like, one whole comic book that was consistent of a particular flavor, like, if it was all, like, just Igor comics, or Igor and Iron Maiden, It just seems a little bit jarring to be jumping back and forth. I think it would be a lot stronger, let's say, if it was all a very continuous theme. Though there are like single page or two page jokes in here, and they work okay. But the strength I would say is really in more like the longer storylines, and I use longer lightly. The things that last more than a page I think have a lot more strength. The single pages are a little bit of a hit and a miss. They're kind of like almost a throwaway joke, but they work for what is in here. Yeah, even you know they're not bad. It's you know, it's like I said, a little bit more consistency. I would appreciate. I do like the art. I do prefer the pink haired Iron Maiden to the long haired blonde. Iron Maiden. That's my personal preference. And I do like the pirate story. That one's pretty fun with Igor in it. And so that's essentially my overall review. Could be a lot better. Could be a lot stronger. I think there's a lot of good stuff in here. Just sometimes it detracts. And it's not overall typically the content that I would normally like, because it is a fairly gratuitous in the Iron Maiden stuff, and your mileage will vary with that depending on your tastes. But there you go, Demon Graphics. Another comic that I got is Zombie Ranch by Clint Wolf and Don Wolf, and this is actually signed by both Clint and Don, who are the writer and artist team. Excuse me. Yep, I'm just making sure I'm recording correctly. All right, so we have this. This is the number one from Zombie Ranch, and I'll hold it up to the camera. Let's see here, and see on the back. It's Meet Susan, Susanna Zane. She's a rancher. She raises livestock. The only thing is, her livestock isn't technically live. The great zombie plague wiped out a fair portion of civilization, and humans weren't the only victims of its ravenous hunger. But that was years ago, and where cattle, pigs, and sheep got scarce, practical sorts found a new herd to the market: the zombies themselves. Now a crew has come out to film a new reality television series on the subject. To the viewers in the safe zones, it might be an eye-opener, but for Susie and her comrades, it's just another day in the unlife. And that is on the back. And there's like a little... In the comic, there's this floating ball camera that's doing the reconnaissance work, essentially, in this future sort of Western... future Western times. As far as the first issue, overall, I think the comic does everything it needs to do to set the stage for, obviously, coming issues and, you know, the premise and the main characters and just basically how things work. It's a good first issue. The artwork, I can tell the artwork is there. The person knows how to draw. What I would like more is a little bit more line weight variation, to give a little bit more depth and feel to these characters. It's a fairly consistent line art, and I think it could be a lot stronger if there was some line weight variation in here, or even some shading or shadowing. Because this whole first issue is pretty much flat coloring, and you know that's kind of a common thing for most of my reviews. I got a lot of ideas of what could make it better, versus just going out saying it doesn't. You know, it looks bad or whatever. No, I'm not really saying that. And because I can certainly see the art underlying art there, this would be a lot stronger if it had like line weight. A variation and shadowing. There could also be a little bit more backgrounds, but I get the style that they're going for. Some panels don't seem as crisp as other panels, as far as like surrounding objects or structures in the background. That obviously, I would say that this person definitely has a lot better time drawing people than they do drawing objects. And it is, and I will say that it is a bit jarring, or it kind of takes you out of it a little bit. So I would strongly recommend do a bit more work practicing doing non-human artwork. But as I said, if I were going to review this as a first issue, I would say this does its job for what it needs to do. And so there's that. Zombie Ranch at... I'll put the URL at the bottom of the screen. Next up... excuse me. We have... Bittersweet Candy Bowl. Volume 1 by Veronica Vera. Now, this is at bittersweetcandybowl.com, I believe. And this... is a giant hardcover book. I've never seen a collection like this before, until I bought like the Calvin and Hobbes Final Master 3 volume collection in hardcover. I've never seen comics put into a hardcover like this before, but I was like, you know, it's actually pretty light. for a hardcover is pretty crazy. There are over 550 pages in here. There's chapter covers and breakdowns. And this one took a long time to read. See, I was expecting to get like the comic book issues for the reviews when I first put this out there. It's like, hey, send in your comics. We'll do reviews and we'll put them out as giveaways. But with this, it's like, oh boy. So we got Bittersweet Candy Bowl. And the book itself is great. This hardcover is great. I will say on this particular cover, the last three sort of like filler pages are kind of coming out of the back. Other than that, the structure of the book is really solid. I don't know who printed them. Anyway, this is actually a collection of everything that you can find on the website, on the webcomic. However, I don't know if on the webcomic it's updated, but in the book it says that there are several, there are some portions of stories or entire chapters or subchapters that are redone, specifically redone for this book. And so there, because this was like, you know, the typical story, you start off sort of like doodling in your notebook, which some of these were actually scanned from notebook, and you can kind of see faint lines where the blue lines of the notebook were. Some people can elect to go and redo absolutely everything. Some people will print as they are, and some people will do a combination, as in redoing, say, maybe the favorite or important arcs, or the ones that just simply have been destroyed or whatever, that you can't scan and print for some whatever reason, and you have to redraw it. So there is a bit of a mix of the style, and people that like to see the growth of an artist through the very beginnings to the ends. This is a really cool book. I will say that I did get a bit confused with some of the characters at some points at the beginning because, well, it's very black and white, very little shading or anything, but most of the characters have a piece of clothing on them that will usually identify them or some feature of them because they're like cats and animals that mostly don't wear clothes except for maybe like a scarf or a bow, or Paolo's hair has spiky, this girl wears a skirt, or you know, things like that, or a necklace. You got basically single identifying things on there, and that works very well for as soon as you get into it. Sometimes there's like really really small sort of panels, obviously doodles sort of stories that just get a little crowded. Here's an example of one of the redraws where you can totally see the difference and increased knowledge of setting up a comic and storytelling. Otherwise, there's some stories that are a lot more shaded, which are possibly color versions turned into black and white, because it's a grayscale book, black and white grayscale book. And I really don't like dramas all that much. I don't like drama in general. This is packed full of high school, middle school drama, and just holy buckets. I hope none of this is true. I really, really hope that none of this is true, because, you know, it's, but I think what helps me enjoy this is that they are like, they're like cartoon characters, basically. They're like animals and such, and then they react differently. And then the world rules are fairly interesting, because they're walking around with, you know, they're not regular clothes, and that is sometimes a point for a joke every once in a while for one character's, you know, they're on the beach and they're going to go swimming, and one character says, where are your trunks? You should be wearing some trunks. It's like, what? No, everybody's wearing this, and like everybody else on the beach is wearing trunks. It's like, oh, cover up. It's like, you know, so there's like some jokes like that. So there's some give and take and some reasonings for like the anthropomorphic world that they're in. But yeah, having like being like cartoon animals and such makes taking the drama, I guess, a little bit more unrealistic, to the point where I don't feel as weird or awkward being entertained by some. Well, and also it's not all like comedy, because there is drama in here as well. So it's like, I mean, I'm a person that can really get into characters if done right. And while you're reading, I get into these characters a lot, and so you do feel bad for them, or feel, oh, shocked or sad for some of these characters when bad things happen to them. If you're a fan of the comic, I would say that this is a no-brainer to buy. This is an awesome collection. For the average reader, they might be put off by some of the early artwork, and honestly, that's nothing that can be helped at this point, lest they went through and redid, like I said, there's over 550 pages of comics in here. So your mileage will vary on if you're a person that really needs that extra art, but a good portion, you know, is like a lot of the later chapters, the art is a lot better than the just very beginning. I'd say two-thirds of this is some of what the less doodly art, I should say. And also, you know, if you like character-driven stuff, if you like awkward situations in high school settings and drama, and like I said, I typically don't like that sort of stuff. I really, really don't. But I really like Bittersweet Candy Bowl. So it does have some flaws, like afterthought flaws, like, oh, this turned into something that people like, and so I better start drawing better now, sort of webcomic. I do like this one. I'm going to take a break, and we'll come back.
This program is a part of the Webcast Beacon Network and is hosted on the Rampage Network. Follow us on Twitter at Webcomic Beacon. Email us at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail by calling 1-320-310-0922. The Webcast Beacon Network, covering and promoting creativity and the creative process since 2007. Webcomics, comic news, tropes, and web fiction at webcastbeacon.com. Now, back to our show.
All right, part two. Like I said before, after first issue is done with the DC Comics New 52, I think how we're going to be doing it, we're going to try to do four series a month, four episodes a month. Marcus and Melissa will each get their own choice of which comic they want to review. And then I would probably say, I'll put like a list of like all the number ones that I've picked up. And if people want to email in and say, hey, review that one for January or whatever it would be. And so basically like a watcher's or a listener's choice would be another one. And then if somebody sent in like, you know, if somebody sent in their comic, their first issue comic, that, you know, we could do one of those a month. We can't take over first issue, but I think that'd be fair because, you know, it's a number one, it's published, and I think it's fair. And then, of course, anyone that does that, they would go into, like, a giveaway for, like I think, you know, every few months maybe we could do, like, a giveaway if we get enough people sending in their number one issues. However, I do mean issues. I don't mean collections. I don't mean big, giant collections, because that's just not practical for Marcus and Melissa. For all of us to pass around a giant book. So I do mean issues for that as an option for people that wouldn't mind that. Otherwise, we are always going to be accepting donations for if people have their own number ones that they find or have in their stuff and they want to get rid of. They want to donate to first issue. Absolutely. We will certainly accept that. And you can go to our website. It might be webcastbeacon.com/about or contact. And you can find our P.O. box there. Or if you have your own webcomic that you've printed out and you want to just send it to us, you don't really want a review, but for a giveaway, we can do that too. And honestly, I think the first person that sent stuff to us for the giveaway and review was Theater Hopper, which not just one, not two, but three collections of Theater Hopper Year 1, Year 2, and Year 3. Now, excuse me. Now, where now I do have to give this a review, and this is where I also say nobody is allowed to submit anything unless they're willing to get an honest review. Because we have tried to do webcomic reviews in the past, webcomic impressions in the past, and it just didn't work out. We didn't want to be mean for some of the webcomic people that submitted, because some of them were less than par, I would say. And also, it's just a huge time sink to try to review a webcomic with X amount in the archive. It's a lot easier to do a review of, like, say, an issue. Now, when you have year 1, 2, and 3 to review, and I said that I would, and I will. And I'll certainly accept these for giveaways and reviews for the webcomic Beacon, just not first issue. Though, this is where the honesty comes in here. Now, we have Theater Hopper Year 1, and this is another example of one of those comics that kind of started out one way, and it was like, I think I want to print this. And he's very straightforward in this one, as he used not high-quality resolution images for the print. But he did his best to try to reconvert and up the size for his comics for this print. And though you can tell, it's a little fuzzy around the edges and such, but overall it doesn't look that bad. It really doesn't. It works pretty much, you know, really just fine. And with each of these, and through all the issues, his comics are printed up with essentially what you could consider a blog post, so to speak, underneath it, basically giving a little, like, commentary, basically. His commentary, what was going through his mind. This was Tom, I'm going to say Brazelton. Yeah, this is by Tom Brazelton. Now, Theater Hopper, you can probably gather already what Theater Hopper is, and that, well, if you've ever been to the movies, theater hopping is when you try to duck and hop to another theater room to watch another movie without buying another ticket, which I do not condone, and I'm pretty sure that Theater Hopper doesn't condone either. I've only read one example of them trying to get in without paying for a movie, and I think that was in Year 3. So basically what you got with this comic is, well, the thing is, there's a lot of movie commentary of things that hit the movie, and there's a bit of actors, actor commentary as well, particularly with Ben Affleck and one of the characters. But, you know, not too majorly with actors, aside from, it's like I said, it's mostly movie actor-actress commentary. And that is where I have to say I don't have much of the interest for it. I'd say the first year of Theater Hopper really starts out really, really slow as far as, like, really trying to get into the characters. Then you start, you know, by the end, you kind of knowing who these characters are. You know, trying to be able to identify with them a little bit, at least. Especially, I would assume that if you're a moviegoer, this would be a lot more of interest to you. I'm not a big movie person, and that's what I said earlier with the other comic, where it was more of a gratuitous comic. Not really my thing, but I'm not going to count it against for being something that I'm not really into. And, you know, I would say that if you are into movies, you'd probably like this. Because, you know, you got sort of the commentary. But I will say, Theater Hopper's stronger points are when there's storylines, when it's not just commentary, when there's even the storylines that revolve around going to a movie or some other sort of plot that's happening or other movie-based things. You know, that's fine. It's a lot stronger when there's, like, a storyline going on. And like I said, the second book has a little bit of the problem as the first book as far as the art and the visuals. But then partway through, it's, yes, that does look better when you use the proper resolution for printing. The artwork does need some work as far as these three, as far as these three comics go. There's a lot more, you know, the artist has certainly gotten better by year 3. It's when you have, you know, the sort of, you only really show their torso and talking heads. And arms, you know, you don't really, you kind of stifle yourself as an artist when you do that, because your characters don't usually get into situations where you got to make them a bit more animated, a bit more dramatic. And there are parts of this comic that certainly show when this artist is trying to do that. That's my usual choice. I usually like a little bit more a dynamic comic, a little bit more story based. So you can certainly see improvement in the artwork and as well as the storytelling as time goes on. But you know what? If that doesn't happen, I'd say the artist has a problem. But that's happening. It feels natural. It's a natural progression. And as you get into the third book, which I would have to say is my favorite of the three. Because there is a lot more story and character development going on, and there's a lot more moving around. And so that's what I have to say about these comics. I mean, this will be one prize. Theater Hopper, year two, year one, and year three. This is one prize. So you can go to webcastbeacon.com/giveaway to find out how you can win this for the 4th anniversary, December 4th, 2011. And Theater Hopper, I'll get the URL once again, put it on the screen, so you can go check out Theater Hopper for yourself online. There's a lot of content in here. I mean, anybody who loves reading Theater Hopper, they will love these books. I mean, the commentary alone is just that added extra to any fan of any comic would like. You know, I was a fan in with Calvin and Hobbes, the 10th anniversary, when he had his select strips and he had commentary on it. You know, I love that. And so any fan of Theater Hopper will definitely love these books. Nice, good collection here. And that's Theater Hopper. The last one, we've had... actually... If I'm doing the show right, we should have just had Veronica Vera from Bittersweet Candy Bowl on episode 209, if things all went to plan. And we also had Jenner, who does Doc Rat on. We had him on maybe a month ago on Dr. Webcomics episode, where we also had the guy who does Callus Comics, or Callus at calluscomics.com, and this is Doc Rat. And these were sent to us from Australia. So, not only... And I think some... I think Zombie Ranch might have came from Canada. You know what? I think Bittersweet Candy Bowl came from Australia as well. So, we accept comics from everywhere. But now I'm going to be doing a review of Doc Rat, Volumes 6 and Volumes 7. Now, these are collections, but they're digestible collections. There are not that many. They might be a year collection. They might be a half year collection. I'm not entirely sure. The comic itself online updates as a strip, so you get two strips per page in here. And I think they're coming out. He's coming out with volume 8 right now. Now, if you listen to our webcomics, you know, I'm not even sure if he said if these were just for the giveaway or if they were also for the review. I should probably look that up, and if they're not, I'll cut this out. But honestly, as I said on that episode, if you like puns, forget about it. This is what you want. You know, if you ever been in the doctor's office and you seen, like, you know, silly little doctor's comics on the wall, something that they might have clipped out or had specially made or bought or something like that, you know, where there's some sort of medical pun or some doctor joke or pun. Well, this is a combination of when people make furry comics and they make animal puns, and there's also doctor puns in here. So there's puns all over the place. This is a mix of a gag a day as well as peppered with storylines, I would say. The puns, to me, I would say they're hit or miss, or the, you know, groaners or roll your eyes sort of thing. And then sometimes there's ones where I just don't know what they're saying. what the joke is, because it might be an Australian thing that I don't understand what a particular word is or phrase, or could be a medical word or a phrase that I don't know what the word is. What he's going for is sometimes, and it's just, well, okay, that one fell flat. But the line art, the artwork in Doc Rat, I love this art. It has the classic comic strip style, the black and white. There's a use of black and white in here for absolute black for shadows, setting tones, setting moods. There certainly is a knowledge of using ink in here, and it's very, very good. This is something, I mean, I typically like color a way more than anyone doing black and white, but this does work. I mean, I would love to see this in color. I really would. Just because I love color. It makes it easier for me, but this is black and white done right. I don't really have any complaints about the art, to be honest. Now, what I will say, I'm not a big fan of puns. I really am not. Evil Inc. Brad Geiger, I know you're a great guy. I don't like your comic. The puns kill it for me. Puns in general bore me. Though, like Evil Inc., Jenner really excels when there's storylines. Puns will fall flat, but I really do like the storyline portions, even if they're just a few, strips long, which would be maybe, could be 2 to maybe 5 pages in here. Even like the short little stories, those are way better to me. That's why I said, if you like puns, here you go. If you like Yegaday sort of puns and stuff, this is it. This is for you. If you like storylines, storylines are going to be in here as well, but they're kind of here and there. You might have a better time reading it online at their website, which you can see right on the screen right now, if I remember to put that in, and I'm not just... But there it is. There it is. We got some quotes on the back from people, other cartoonists that actually liked this comic too. So, this comic's been around, and people will like it or hate it. That's what I think. If you don't like puns or whatever, there you go. Storylines, way better. I do like the storylines. There's a major storyline wrapped up. Well, it's kind of wrapping up right now on the website via this time of the review. And there's some of the setup for some of those, because these issues come out fairly quickly, which is why I think they're half years or 1 year volume collections. So that's my review on Doc Rat Collection Volume 6 and Volume 7. And that is all I have for... is this still recording? Yes, it's still recording. Excuse me. So that is all I have for this episode of the Webcomic Beacon podcast that also has a video for it. I do apologize for, again, the lighting and the sort of awkwardness of this show. This is the first time me doing these reviews. I kind of got a lot all at once for the giveaway. I'm still accepting anyone's comics for review. Anyone's. For these reviews... I will set for Webcomic Beacon reviews, like what I'm doing here. If you have web content and you printed it and it's here. And if you have a first issue that's, I don't know, if there's like other companies that are watching the show, yeah, you can send us review copies and we'll review it for first issue. First issue would be a place where you absolutely don't have web content that I can direct people to go, because there's a rule on the Webcomic Beacon podcast. We don't have people on the show unless there is a decent amount of free content for people to see so they can watch along with us. That's just a rule of thumb for the Webcomic Beacon podcast. First issue is a completely different story. Any first issue has to be an issue, not a collection, not a trade. It has to be an issue. Anyone with the first issue can submit to there and be reviewed on there. Even people that have web content and they printed their comic. Like I said, Zombie Ranch, Demon Graphics, they could have easily sent... if I had thought of it earlier, I could have put it on first issue, but we're not ready for that yet. So after the DC Comics 52... I'm repeating myself a lot in here, and I'm not being entirely funny. I'm not being entertaining. Anyway... Firstissue.webcomicbeacon.com is where you can go to check out the Webcast Beacon's new web series. Otherwise, this has been, I have been Fess of ArdraComic.com here for the Webcomic Beacon podcast at webcomicbeacon.com. That is all for this show. Thanks for staying with me, and see you all next week.